On Women of Harry Potter, we make sure to spend time to bless women who we really look up to and also women who we have a lot of problems with. And so right now, as part of our pre-roll today, I would like to offer a blessing for Petunia Dursley. Petunia is a woman who's given an opportunity to love a boy that has dropped off on her door and has failed miserably in that attempt. I believe that we as a country are given the opportunity to right now love people who are on our doorstep, and we are also failing miserably. To that end, Harry Potter and the Sacred Text and Women of Harry Potter have launched a campaign to raise money for Raíces. Raíces offers legal representation and advocacy during cases of family separation and support social services for refugees. We are trying to raise $25,000 by Christmas, and we are already well on our way. If you go to harrypottersacredtext.com and click on the campaign, Don't Be a Dursley, you can join us in this effort to raise money for Raíces. A young boy was left on the stoop of his aunt's house at the mercy of relatives who didn't care about him. As fans of Harry Potter's story, we have an obligation to make sure that there are structures for children and adults who have nowhere safe to go. Hi, Bayana.
Hey, Vanessa.
Bayana, welcome to Blessing Women of Harry Potter Land.
Thanks. I'm super excited to be here.
Bayana, can you tell everybody just a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, so I am a co-founder and editor-in-chief of Black Girls Create, which is a website and community and kind of a space for Black nerds and creators to make things and to talk about nerd things. Our kind of central project, or what has been our central project for the last 4 years, is the Wizard Team Harry Potter podcast, where my cousin Robin and I have discussed the entire series chapter by chapter, like a close read, and we kind of discuss it together. And then we just recently finished, which was kind of wild. But we also do other stuff. So we have a critical companion series, which is like blog posts from contributors about different kind of nerd things and how they kind of relate to them in their everyday life. And then we have a Doctor Who podcast and lots of things.
So, Bayana, you and I have worked together before. You were on our other podcast, Harry Potter and the Sacred Text, and I was lucky enough to come on and talk about a great Hagrid-based chapter on Wizard Team with you and Robin, and had so, so much fun. The reason that we invited you in this moment to be on Women of Harry Potter is that we got a voicemail from a woman who was concerned about the way that we had handled the Yule Ball chapter and the way that we hadn't managed to talk about the fact that Harry and Ron are really exploiting Padma and Parvati. Mm-hmm. And it just, we had not seen the racial element of that and how Padma and Parvati were really being treated as disposable characters in that scene. And I felt so educated and also so badly that one of our listeners had to educate us in that way. And so we wanted to create a space on Women of Harry Potter to really be talking about the women of color in the Harry Potter series and acknowledge, you know, our whiteness and the fact that our position does not allow us to see things that we know that women of color see in these characters. So we invited you to launch this mini series of really focusing on the women of color in Harry Potter and to talk about Angelina with us. And so, with no further ado, we are wondering what you would like to bless Angelina for.
I think Angelina is a really hardworking and like driven person. She's has less time in the earlier series, and we just kind of see her as the chaser, or on, you know, chaser on Harry's team. Later on, like, she puts her name in the Goblet of Fire because she's like, you know, I am of age, I'm capable, I can, you know, do these tasks, and she ultimately doesn't get it, but like just that kind of drive that she has, I personally would never. So just like seeing that as like a personality trait that she has. And then I think we see her more in Order of the Phoenix when she becomes the Quidditch captain, and just all of the kind of roadblocks she keeps coming up against, especially when it comes to Umbridge, which is not helped by Harry, and still like doing her best to kind of hold it all together while also being in her seventh year and doing her newts and keeping her hair looking nice and like all of these things. So I really appreciate her. And I feel like her and Lee Jordan, I know we're talking about women, but like the two of them, like growing up, like those were two that I just often wanted to know more about. because I felt like they looked like me and people who I knew. And so, yeah, so I love Angelina. She's great.
She is a woman who really steps into her authority, right? I think, yeah, by putting her name in the goblet, and she's the favorite from Gryffindor mm-hmm. who's put her name in the goblet. And so I feel like the Gryffindor house has acknowledged that she is a real leader of their house.
Yeah, and she's definitely just like, she seems like someone who has kind of a guiding hand. And I think like, in Order of the Phoenix, I think at one point Harry jokes like, oh, she's channeling Oliver Wood's spirit or whatever. But I also just feel like she was stressed out. You know what I mean? Like, Oliver did the most when it came to, like, Quidditch. And he took it way more seriously than I think really anybody should anything. But Angelina, like, was really just trying to preserve, like, how well the team had been doing. And she just really wanted to do well as captain. And I think like, yeah, I think just like having that leadership and it being acknowledged by, you know, I guess who decides captains? I don't know if that's McGonagall or Dumbledore, but like having that been like be acknowledged by like professors and then also the students, because when they find out, everybody's like, that's great. That makes a lot of sense. So having that kind of like respect around her is awesome.
Yeah. And she, I mean, that moment that you pointed to of Harry saying she's channeling Oliver Wood is so interesting, because it's like, well, the one thing that Angelina and Oliver definitely have in common is that they have to manage your annoying butt.
Okay.
The fact that he's like, God, everybody has the same problem. And it's like, yes, that same problem is you, Harry.
It's you. Yeah. It's like no one told you to get detention for a whole week when you're supposed to be practicing. So.
And in fact, Angelina keeps saying, keep your mouth shut.
Right.
Right. She keeps trying to manage him.
Yeah. And that's like an added thing she has to think about on top of like, you know, their plays and making sure everybody else is good and then her own schoolwork. Like, yeah.
And she's somebody who's simultaneously very serious, right? Like you said, she's very ambitious. She puts her name in the goblet. She's Quidditch captain. But she also has this association with the Weasley twins that I mm-hmm. think lets us see that she is somebody who has a silly side. She's not, unlike Hermione, who I think has like the rightful reputation of only being serious and sort of being stuck up about it.
Yeah.
Angelina, she still has that playful side.
Yeah, she definitely likes to have fun. Like, I always think about, like, secondary houses, and I don't know what her secondary house would be. Like, I know Hermione's is Ravenclaw, but it's very much the, like, stuck-up side of that. Saying this as a Ravenclaw, like, it's very much the, like, you know, the rules, and we're doing all this, whereas Angelina's like, I mean, maybe it's part of her being a Gryffindor, where she's just like, you know, there's a time to work and to, like, push myself and to do all these things, but then there's also a time to, like, relax. And I think maybe also playing sports has something to do with that, too, but yeah.
I've always had a complicated appreciation for sports. I don't just hate them, but I think that this series has really made me appreciate sports in a new way. And I think that Angelina is like a beacon of that, right? That sports can be a place to like get discipline and to practice leadership, practice prioritizing. There's a really interesting moment in book 5 where she's like trying to decide how hard to push them given that the weather is bad and they need to practice in bad weather. But Fred and George have blisters on their butt.
Yeah.
We see that kids can learn management, kids can learn teamwork, that sports actually have this really important place in the world, including the difference between like when are sports work and when are they play.
Yeah.
And I think Angelina walks all of those lines so well.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
Is there a specific moment of Angelina that you would like to zoom in on? One where you're like, yes, this is the sentence or this is the moment that I really love?
I think like Robin and I think a lot about her hair and the fact that she's like always in braids. Like something we had discussed like years ago on Wizard Team and kind of fell into this headcanon that kind of blew our minds at the time. But so like wearing braids like is not a thing that you can do all the time. Because it like, you know, it has like tension on your hair, it pulls and all that kind of stuff. So you wear them sometimes, but you also have to take breaks. But in the series, Angelina's always in braids. And so as a kid reading that, I was like, I mean, okay, whatever. Like J.K. Rowling is this white woman. She doesn't know. She sees black women in braids and like, whatever.
Yeah.
But she has magic. So she can kind of do whatever. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't have to have the same kind of constraints that we as muggle, like, women have when, like, taking care of our hair. And so, like, one of the headcanons that we came up with just through, like, seeing that part of her was that she, like, has her own, like, magical hair care routine, that she shares it with the other, like, girls in her house, and then, like, eventually will go on to, like, open up this, like, business of, like, magical hair products.
Oh my God, I love that so much.
It's so great. And it's one of those things where, like, again, like, when I was a kid, it wasn't like, it just kind of stuck, it just stood out to me as odd. And then I just kind of ignored it because it's Harry Potter and we're, you know, defeating Voldemort and all that kind of stuff. But, like, reading it closely and then, like, having someone to talk it out with just ended up creating this whole thing where, like, Angelina is one of my favorites now because, like, I do my hair all the time and it takes forever. And I just love thinking about being able to flick your wand and it being done in, like, 2 hours as opposed to 8. So, yeah.
Or 30 seconds, right? Like, right. Who knows?
Depending on what you're doing, like, it really could be, like, just a real quick situation. And I, you know, wish that I had those kind of powers, but...
And her hair is also, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's the only moment where we hear something outright racist mm-hmm. about Angelina is when Pansy says that it looks like she has snakes coming out of her head.
Mm-hmm.
If she has this, like, magical routine, she could be straightening her hair. She could, right, like, she yeah. could be trying to pass in different ways with her hair, but instead she has these beautiful braids. So even the choice of braids is Angelina not apologizing for who she is.
Right. And, like, and in that moment, she, like, very much kind of just swings her braids around and ignores it and is like, we're just gonna, you know, move on. But I, like, that's one of those things where, like, it, like, I've never had that interaction, but I think, I believe Robin has said that someone has said something similar to her before. And, like, it's a common kind of thing that has happened to Black women at different points in time. And, like, to me, I always think about the fact that she's at this point, like, 17 or maybe 18, I think. And so she's had this time to kind of, like, grow into, and, like, perhaps her parents have made sure that she, like, loves her hair and who she is. And, you know, I know, like, my parents didn't let me straighten my hair when I was a kid. And so sometimes I wonder if, like, again, this is all conjecture because I highly doubt J.K. Rowling thought of any of this, but wondering if, like, her parents were really intentional in trying to make sure that she loved who she was in her hair and, like, in how it grows out of her head without, oftentimes those things are said and they can be said when someone is really young or even if they were about the same age that Angelina is, but maybe don't have that same kind of, like, training to ignore it and to know that their hair is beautiful. And so that kind of stuff could be damaging depending on who you say it to. Yeah, I feel like it's one of the only, like, overtly racist, like, in-world moments.
Yeah.
Because I think there's, like, plenty of moments where the book says something and you're like, meh. But that's, like, one where, like, an actual character is saying a thing where, like, racism and, like, race isn't really addressed in the books. But that's, like, the one time. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, race is only addressed in metaphor in the books for the most yeah. part, right? It's, like, how we treat house elves, how we treat Lupin as a werewolf, right? It's all done through metaphor, but it is the one explicit moment mm-hmm. in which the text is trying to say Pansy Parkinson is different from other people because she will say an explicitly racist human-based thing.
Mm-hmm.
The only other person whose hair routine we ever hear about is Hermione.
Yeah.
And we do hear, there's just that moment where she's like, oh, using the sleek potion, you know, was too much work. I'm not going to do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is also maybe a moment of talking about white privilege of Hermione can say, I don't want to spend time on my hair, but Angelina, her hair is going to have to be an issue one way or the other.
I am at this point, I operate on Hermione is Black. So in my head, I'm like, I get that.
So I operate that Hermione is Jewish, but yes.
Yeah. And I can honestly, like, I see both.
Yeah.
But I think for me, on that side, I think about, like, there are so many times when I do the bare minimum with my hair and I can just think about, like, I mean, and again, we just see Angelina with her braids the whole time. And, like, I would just love to see, like, her off day, like, when she's just like, I don't feel like doing any of this, like, I'm gonna just wrap it up, or I'm gonna just pull it back into a puff, or just, like, y'all are gonna get these twists.
Right.
Like, I wonder about that process too, because I know, like, I for sure have, like, moments where I'm like, I cannot do my hair, like, I just refuse, and I'm just like, Like, I had a moment like a couple weeks ago where I was just like, I've been doing this every day. And I just feel like at a certain point, it should be able to stop and just be fine.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I could just see her having those days, especially when she's, like, frustrated or, like, Harry got another detention. And she's just like, right. The last thing I want to do right now is my hair.
Now I have to spend 2 hours instead of 9 because I'm magical braiding my hair. Can we talk for a moment on the slight tangent that we just went on about Hermione's blackness?
Yes.
I love Black Hermione, but here's my question.
Uh-huh.
I can't get over the J.K. Rowling tries to pretend like it was always her intention to Hermione's race unclear. Okay.
Oh, no. I don't think that she intended it to be that way. Like, I feel like she was just kind of like, oh, sure, whatever. Like, that's cool. And I think that she read that BuzzFeed article and was like, and like the tweet that she tweeted was like a direct like pull from that. Like, I don't think it was attributed, but it was like pulled from that article.
Right.
I think it was written by Alana Bennett. And like, so I don't think that she did it intentionally at all. But I think that there, and I honestly, like when I was first reading it, I didn't read her as Black, but part of that was more of the like defaulting to whiteness. So unless she said explicitly that somebody was of color, I just assumed that they were white at the time.
Well, and Hermione's whiteness is named at least once, right? Her like face goes white.
I think it's kind of vague, like in a way that like you could read it as more of an expression than like a literal thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think for me, it's mostly around like what Black Potterheads in the fandom have done with it, less so than J.K. Rowling, because I don't think that she intended for that to happen. And I think that if she had, when Emma Watson was, or like even if Emma Watson had like come up as being cast, she would have said something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think that that's the case, but I also love it. Like I was like, when I found out about the Cursed Child casting, and I am not like, I mean, and this is obviously before I saw Cursed Child and I'm not a fan of it, but I still will go hard for that casting because I like saw it and I almost like wept in like an Uber or something. Like I was like ridiculously emotional about it. And I think that like, for me, like, honestly, like I don't have an issue with other people not reading her as Black because again, I don't think it was an intentional thing on like J.K. Rowling's part, but I also just like at this point now, I think I read her through that lens a little bit more, especially because I connected with her so much like as a kid reading her, if that makes sense.
Right.
So for one, just the like we were talking about the kind of parallels between like pure blood supremacy and like racism and all of these things. And so to me, like the things that she goes through as like a Muggle-born is very similar to things that she, like, if, as a Black woman, like I would go through. And I also think even just her hair, like, it really could be any, like, people's kind of, like, range or litmus for, like, what is unruly or wild or whatever is, it's a scale. But to me, like, thinking about, like, the fact that Hermione feels like she has to straighten her hair for, like, this special event is, like, a thing that I've seen, like, plenty of people like, you know, kind of think and do. Just like the way that Harry and Ron kind of rely on her to do everything. And even just like her botched attempt to help the house elves, just like that. Not necessarily what she did, because it could have been done way better, but I think like the intent behind it. Again, I don't think that like J.K. Rowling really did it, but I think there are ways you can read into it. And I know that I know of people who, when they first read it, thought that she was Black as well. So,
oh, that's interesting. Can you say more about Black Hermione's relationship with, I like to call it SPEW and not SPEW?
So I think like of, you know, like in Sorcerer's Stone, when Harry enters the world, it's just like this fantastic world. It's wonderful. It's like everything is magical and bright and like, you know, there's frogs made of chocolate and they're jumping around and there's all this wild stuff happening. And I kind of think of Hermione coming into this world in the same way and like, wonderful and amazing, and then suddenly to be called a mudblood, right? Like all of these things kind of then realizing like, oh, okay, like this world also has oppressive structures of which I at this point am like at sort of the bottom. And then learning about house elves and seeing how Winky was treated and hearing about Dobby, I think that she at this point, especially given that it feels like she very much has like thrown herself into the wizarding world and has really no intention of ever looking back or going back into the muggle world. I think that like her really wanting to strive to make some kind of change makes sense, but she doesn't do it in a way where she's like listening to the house elves. And so, and then she's, but it's always hard for me talking about the house elf storyline because I also don't think J.K. Rowling took it as seriously as she should have. It's like not well written because it's like you can see the places where Hermione should have been a better ally, like listening to what it was the house elves wanted, not like being like, oh, you poor things, you're brainwashed, like all of that stuff is terrible. But then at the same time, the text isn't taking her seriously at all. Not like, it's not like it's critiquing her approach. It's just being like, oh, look at Hermione over there with her, like, you know, holier than thou attitude. And like, you know, she's just over here making waves for no reason, as opposed to being like, oh, she's tripping, but she has a point, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's hard for me to like fully critique her because at the same time, the book doesn't take it seriously. And then it just kind of drops off at the end. So,
I mean, I think the thing is that she does learn how to be a better organizer, right? Mm-hmm. Like SPW goes so poorly. And then when it's time to start Dumbledore's army, she's learned from her mistakes. But yeah, I think SPW is a failure in so many important ways.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's easier for her to do like Dumbledore's army because it's people who she knows and she's like,
right,
like she's in it, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like she has to be an ally because it's very much like directly affects her.
Yeah.
And I think like as it moves on, she mostly just like, she goes from like being like, we're gonna have campaigns and like you're gonna buy this badge and like all this kind of stuff, she's very much like, oh, don't talk mean about creature, and you know, like it just kind of like devolves, I think.
And one of the things that has only occurred to me because of this conversation that I love about imagining Hermione as black is the relationship between her and Angelina. Mm-hmm. You know, that I now get to imagine that Angelina is a woman within Gryffindor that Hermione would have to explicitly look up to.
Mm-hmm.
And that they are two women maybe talking about their different hair routines, like that the two of them could be having these conversations is like a beautiful thing to imagine rather than Angelina standing alone in that space.
Right. And Angelina very much feels like someone, like we see how she takes leadership. And so she feels like someone who would be willing to like mentor younger, like students of color, especially in Gryffindor and like maybe beyond that, but specifically in Gryffindor. It feels like, especially as she's getting older, that she would be someone who would like go and, you know, help like folks who are struggling. And so I think that a part of that would be, you know, talking to Hermione about her hair or, you know, checking in on folks after maybe Pansy said something wild to them, like just that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I love the idea of Angelina's hair being the focal point of like the one moment of explicit racism in the book and also being the sort of like metaphor invitation to how being black in the magical world can be this different thing than it is in the muggle world.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's interesting because I think the wizarding world kind of touts itself to be so different from the muggle world. And then, like, I think even J.K. Rowling, like, doesn't realize that, like, racism would probably still exist in the wizarding world. I don't know. I think it's an interesting thing to think about, is, like, the ways that being magical and also being of color would kind of be different than just being like a muggle of color.
And I think that that's just such a beautiful metaphor for like progressive spaces, right? Even, I mean, on this podcast, we try to put ourselves in as many points of view as possible. But I think that, right, the reason that we're doing this moment in our podcast is because we're like, oh, even in this like well-intended space, we are going to be reifying the structural problems of the entire system. And so we're not, you know, we're not going to be able to break out of these systems and we're not better than it. We're going to mess up just as much as anybody else. So even within the magical world, of course, there's still going to be racism. I guarantee you the witches and wizards were profiting off of the slave trade in England.
I mean, there's no way they weren't.
The whole country's wealth is built on it, right? Like, we're all complicit even witches and wizards.
I mean, they've colonized the entire world almost. So there's like no way that racism isn't involved in like what they're doing. And I mean, especially folks like the Malfoys, like there's no way the Malfoys weren't involved in any of that. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, Bayana, I wrote a quiz for you to take. We always like to end these episodes with a quiz.
Okay.
And so I wrote a short quiz for you. Angelina is obviously this amazing leader and athlete who is confronting stereotypes through her body and the way that she presents herself. And so I am going to ask you a series of questions about a similar woman, Serena Williams.
Okay.
So I have a quiz for you about the wonderful Serena, an icon.
Okay. I'm like, I love Serena, but I am just not like the last time I watched a tennis match, I don't even know, but it's fine. I can guess.
So Serena has 23 single Grand Slam titles and 4 gold medals. She also has a room in her house for all but one of the following: A, a trophy room; B, a purse room; C, a karaoke room; or D, a meditation room. So she has 3 out of 4 of those rooms. Which one does she not have?
Ooh. So I feel like, yeah, I'm gonna say trophy room because maybe she's just like super humble or something. But like also, I just feel like put up your trophies. I don't know.
No, she has a trophy room. She does not have a meditation room.
Okay.
I like that you were like, yeah, of course she has a karaoke room.
I mean, I just see, she seems like that kind of person. And also like she's married to, what's his name? And like, I feel like he would meditate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, they just seem like I'm with
a couple who would meditate together. So I don't know.
I agree. That's why I made up meditation room to trick you. Okay. So next question. Serena is the highest paid female athlete alive, but she's still trying to grow in her career, including by trying some acting performances. She once was on an episode of The Simpsons. What was the title of The Simpsons episode that she was in? A, Tennis the Menace; B, Sister Rivals; C, Grand Slam Breakfast; or D, Don't Go Dopin'.
Oh, yikes. I know nothing about The Simpsons, so I'm just going to guess C because that's what you do when you don't know.
That is what you do when you don't know. But it's actually A, Tennis the Menace is the name of the episode that she and her sister Venus were in. Okay. So question 3. Serena eats a mostly vegan diet to stay healthy and fit for her rigorous training schedule. However, she cheats sometimes. Which of these does she call herself? A flexivegan, a Chegan, a vegan light, or vegan-ish?
Maybe vegan-ish.
She calls herself a Chegan, which I think is hilarious.
It's very
funny.
She's
a cheating vegan. Isn't that so funny?
It's very, like, yeah.
I mean, think it's so humble that she refers to herself as that. I just feel like it's so honest.
Yeah, absolutely. She's like, I mean, I do it most of the time.
Well, Bayana, thank you so much for joining us to bless Angelina. We're so grateful. And we want to recommend, even though you have finished recording Wizard Team, everybody should go back and listen to it. It's incredible. And congrats on finishing 7 books, 199 chapters.
Yeah, that was a feat. But we're not going to like, we're not going to stop. Right now we're taking a break. Oh. We're kind of on hiatus and then we're going to do other things.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you guys are still going to be around.
Yeah.
And send Robin and her dog Luna Lovegood my love.
Definitely will.
Okay. Thank you so much, Bayana. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
This week's episode of The Women of Harry Potter was executive produced by Ariana Nettleman and me, Vanessa Zoltan, and associate produced by Chelsea Erson. Our music is by Nick Bull, and thank you so much this week to Bayana Davis. Check out her podcast, Wizard Team. Talk to you in 2 weeks.